There used to be so many better podcast GIFs. You know what I mean? Huh? Every time I post for UA or even on my Instagram and I'm doing podcast stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
There's never any like good podcast GIFs anymore. There used to be a lot and I feel like people always use the same ones. So maybe they like got rid of them because everyone's using the same ones. I don't know. But there used to be a microphone that I used to go for. Can't find it anymore.
Okay. That was such a weird beginning.
No, it wasn't. This is just what I'm doing at the moment. Also, I just got back from Greece, and I realized that I can't dive.
You can't dive? Oh, like into water. Can you dive? I know that like I used to be able to. Did you ever take swimming lessons?
Yeah, and I never was good at diving, and then I realized.
Do you belly flop?
I just don't try because I know that I can't.
Or are you like that you? Have you seen like when kids jump?
It's terrible. Like my legs are bent. Like it's not pretty. So
oh my gosh,
I just never do.
Wait, Ash, can we get a video of you trying to dive?
No.
And post it?
What?
Why? Why would you bring it up then? Our personal lives have no boundaries anymore.
Let's do it. Okay. Wait, can knee dives count?
No. What the heck is a knee dive?
You know when you're on your knee and you
go. No, you are not 5 years old.
That's all I can do. That's all I can
what
offer
knee
you.
Dives?
I can't do a regular dive.
Now.
No. Oh, no. I still can't find this GIF. I got to put my phone down.
Ashley Nicole, basically.
Let's start the episode.
Oh my gosh, I'm done with you. I'm done. Literally, Mark was like, okay, guys, like rolling whenever you are. And then this girl just is like. I can't find any podcast GIFs.
I am trying to let the listeners in on what it's like to like actually be with us, you know? Like that's what I would talk about. That's what I was thinking. So,
okay.
You know, welcome to today's episode.
Dear God.
Unsolicited advice. I'm Ashley.
I'm Taryn, the present one.
And if you haven't listened to us before, this is a podcast where we give you guys advice. That might not be the best advice, but is advice.
You know
on
what?
Your situations.
I feel like we shouldn't even say that anymore because I feel like time after time, we have proven how brilliant we are.
We're really good at this. Yeah.
You know what's going to happen is literally we're going to get one earth-shattering response that's like, you guys ruined my life, and then we're just going to disappear.
We're not going to be able to handle that pressure.
We're going to go like hide under a rock and just forget
be like,
we ever tried
whatever happened
to
do
this.
That podcast.
No one will ever know. No one will ever know.
They're 45. They still live together
God,
and just
that's
cry.
So sad. They still live together. Oh, no. It's a slow downhill.
Hey, Ash.
Hi.
I've perked up.
I'm really glad, guys. I was concerned on the way here. I was really concerned. She was like this little ball of quiet in the passenger seat next to me. And I bought her a huge coffee.
You did.
I got her a water.
You did.
And then as we're going and I could sense the silence, you know, I was like, you know what? We're just going to put on some pump-up music. I played everything. I played everything.
Like now
there was some house. There was some like dance music. There was some Drake, which is Taryn's jam. Around Drake,
it,
she woke up a little bit.
I believe I danced for 5 seconds and then was like, ow. You know, if this makes you uncomfortable, I'm so sorry. But it's, you know, my visitor is here. My biological.
Wait, can we talk about this? Taryn has the hardest time saying period. And she gives me so much crap for having a hard time with potty talk.
Mine makes sense because I grew up with all brothers.
But you have a mom.
Yeah, so me and my mom would talk about it, but it's not something that I'm just casually at the dinner table like, oh, my cramps.
My house was so different.
Yeah.
If one of us was cramping really bad, oh, man.
Oh,
it
my
was,
gosh.
Like, everything.
Okay,
everything
next time you're over, I dare you just to be like, oh, like, I'm on my.
Oh, I can't wait. I'll do it.
Okay, well, get ready for all of the men in my house.
I cannot wait for your dad to just be like stone cold and just. Not
I'll just
know what
start
to say.
Like sweating and going down. I still remember he's gonna kill me.
They can't be that. I mean, they're all
just
in relationships.
Like, they're just like very like boy ish, like men.
They need to get
you know
over
what I
that.
Mean? Oh no, it's not that they're not over it. It's just that like I don't know. Like I remember my dad did my laundry, and it was the first time my mom let me buy a thong. And I walked into the living room. And I remember specifically, I was like, I'm going to do my own laundry because I was so embarrassed. Like, I didn't want him to see it. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, walking into the living room. And he was like, Ange, what is this? And he was, like, holding it up. And I was like, I was mortified. I was literally dying.
You didn't know what a thong was?
No. I mean, I don't know. He probably was just like, what is this? Like, I feel like thongs were not that popular. Like back in the day.
He does not that old.
Well, I don't know. It's not like he does a bunch of women's laundry. Yeah. Anyways.
Interesting.
So, yeah. That's why I get
He's
weird.
He's going to kill us for talking
I'm
about this
so
right now.
I'm so sorry. But, yeah. So, anyways, that's my current situation. Wow. I've cried at least 7 times today. It's one okay, of guys. Them from watching Lizzo's Instagram story.
I love that it's Lizzo because that's not like when you picture like emotional and, you know.
She was crying,
You
though.
Don't think of her because she's always like a good time. She's always really funny on her stories.
Beautiful.
I wouldn't have pictured that's hilarious.
Ashley bought me coffee. I got teary-eyed. I talked about how I might cry today and started crying.
Oh God.
So that's where I'm at. But now you know how it feels to drive here with someone who's being totally silent when you're like mm-s-s-s.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why. I'm on a good one today.
You are on a good one. I like it. You're
I'm keeping on a
me,
good one today.
You're keeping me going.
On a positive note, it's September.
It is.
It's September and we're very excited because if you haven't heard yet, we are planning on having Halloween episodes where we talk about specifically scary stories / scary situations that you guys have been through. And we get to like talk and advise on that.
Love
so it's
it.
Going to be themed scary for all of October. That means we need you guys to submit stories that are only for October.
Yeah.
So I need you guys to like in the title, caption it like October or say for the scary October series or something where it's very clear that this is for October only so that we can find it easily and send them in ASAP.
Oh, okay. My gosh. We're so I feel like if this is your first episode, welcome. But
Hello.
Also, like me and Ash talk about all the time that we bonded over like true crime podcasts and stuff like that.
Big fans.
So I'm literally going to be living my best life reading them. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to just hear what you guys have to say.
Yeah.
But it could be like, I mean, it could also be like something that happened in your hometown that you grew up hearing about. But like, we would love for it to be like specific things that you've experienced or maybe someone really close to you. But I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm really pumped for this.
And get
it just reminds me of like sleepovers, you know?
Yeah.
And people would talk about scary stories when you couldn't sleep and then you could not sleep.
Oh my gosh.
Because you were so terrified. That's what it reminds me of.
I used to hate sleepovers because it never fails, right? When everyone's getting ready for bed, what do? You put on a movie and everyone lays in their sleeping bags or whatever. Mm-hmm. I am one of those people, I cannot fall asleep when a movie's on. Like I have to watch it in its entirety, and I would just be laying there in a house I wasn't comfortable with, and all of my friends would fall asleep, and I'd just be laying there in the dark trying to fall asleep, but I couldn't.
I always had a hard time falling asleep too.
Yeah,
with movies, unless I've seen it before.
We didn't ever have like little girl sleepovers. I didn't know you existed.
No, we never. No, when did I meet you? I was like 24 when I met you.
Exactly.
But I mean, you slept over before.
I was a gem when I was little.
I remember spending the night at a friend's house and watching Sixth Sense for the first time.
Oh, heck no. I don't think I've even seen that.
Lost it. I was terrified. I couldn't sleep. And that's how it happened.
You always have those where you just like, it's like going down a roller
like
coaster.
One, and then I just drop. And then I'm like, well, like, I don't know how to end this. So I just end it.
And your voice goes.
Yeah, we talked about that. I was listening to one of the podcasts and or one of our episodes and noticed that my voice kind of goes in and out. And it really bothered me. So I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I've actually been working on that, trying to keep my voice in my like mouth closer to the microphone. So
being podcasters is kind of difficult. I mean, if you think about like how many people say, oh, I hate hearing myself talk. Like everyone says that.
Uh-huh.
So I remember the first time we recorded an episode when we got it back, I had like straight up anxiety. I was like, what if I hate the way I sound? And then I'm just like every episode, that's all I think about, which I've definitely gotten over. But then people point out, oh, you say like too much, or oh, you say yeah a bunch of times, or Ashley, we can't hear you. And you're just like, I don't know what to do.
I was going to say, Taryn's really good about listening to our episodes. I still don't like it. And it's funny because I like a vlog and I do videos all the time too. I don't like how I sound, and I never have, and so I don't want to listen to myself. I already recorded the podcast, so I don't listen to our episodes.
I listen to our episodes.
I'll listen to them for like a glimpse, you know, to like post and like do socials and stuff, but I never listen to like the whole thing because it...
Yeah, you let me carry all the weight. It's fun.
You're doing great.
It's funny though, because there's so many times I've been driving and I make eye contact with a car next to me and I'm cracking up. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that like I am laughing at myself, like I made myself laugh, and then someone sees me is always just
if
like,
only
so
they
funny.
Knew.
I'm all, it's
only
me.
They knew. Oh, that's
okay,
hilarious.
Well, should we like, you know, get started?
Yeah. I actually wanted to read a email that we got. I forget which episode it was.
I think it was two ago.
Two episodes ago, we talked about suicide. Taryn
the
had,
friend.
Mm-hmm. She had a letter come in about someone who had a friend that was struggling with suicidal thoughts. And someone wrote in who is anonymous, but she had some really great insight. She said, "Hey guys, I love your podcast. I just wanted to send this in because I was listening to your podcast about suicide and felt the need to send this in. I was in the reverse position several times. I am in a good place now, but I have been in a place where I haven't been as happy as I have been. When I was in high school, my best friend turned me in before I committed suicide. I was so angry and refused to talk to him. I had a very delicate relationship with my parents, and it destroyed that. I felt like the pain in my life somehow increased. And eventually, we did get our friendship back, and I am forever grateful for him and so happy that I am here now. Because of all of this, I'm actually going to get the semicolon tattoo on the side of my left hand, and I'm so excited. Thank you guys so much for everything that you guys do. Much love, Anonymous."
That's awesome.
And I just wanted to read that because I think I remember, and I could be wrong, but your letter, she talked about how like she thought it was a taboo subject, and mm-hmm. you know, she felt a little uncomfortable opening up about it. But clearly, like that resonated with someone, and I really do believe that so many other people were affected by that letter as well. So
I just
wanted to let the writer know that I think a lot of people appreciated you being vulnerable.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of specifically DMs where people were saying like, "Oh my gosh, like I have a friend who's been struggling. This helped me so much." And mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly keep waiting for that to like not affect me as much as it does.
Yeah.
But every time we have an episode, even when I think they're like simple stories, the outpour of people being like, "Oh my gosh, like I'm like a wreck, like I needed to hear that," is so overwhelming to me.
Yeah.
And it really just like, I mean, it just kind of proves like why we always talk about how much we love just people and relationship and how you can like relate to anyone and anything.
Yeah.
I had a moment where I like forgot what I was saying. Did you hear it? I like stopped and then I was like, "Where am I?"
Taryn's having a rough day. I completely agree, though. I think there's something so relieving, and like you just feel like this weight lift off your shoulders when you hear someone else is going through something that you're going through, because otherwise you feel like you're going through it all by yourself.
Yeah, no, I totally agree,
and that's terrifying. Yeah. So yes.
Well, thank you for writing that in.
I know,
and
that meant a lot.
You know, we'll continue hitting you guys with these subjects, definitely, but yeah, it's cool to see people react the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tearing it up.
Oh, praise be. I'm so excited.
Actually, I just
up.
Would like to say we've been getting a lot of these, and almost all of them start with being like, "Oh, we heard you wanted stories of us being stupid like Taryn." And I'm just like, you know, it's a good thing that I am very aware of like who I am as a person.
You're grounded.
And I don't get offended by anything because I'm
it's
what?
It's so good.
Yes, I can relate. Okay, sorry, my phone's
also,
plugged in.
Also, I feel like I saw people write in a lot about this and they were calling it turning into Taryn, which is funny because we did mention turning into Taryn as a possible title, but it's officially tearing it up.
Tearing it up.
So no pressure if you got it wrong, but let's not, you know, add to the confusion. It's definitely tearing it up.
If you don't title it right, we will not read it. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so this is from our DMs, actually. And which we all know I'm a fan of the DMs.
She is a
fan.
It's
from, I don't think she says her name, but her Instagram name is Flex Podcast Fun.
Ooh.
And she said, "Tearing it up. I'm so excited for this segment as I have so many hashtag.
No, what's that called?
Hashtag.
Quotation.
Oh, quote. In quotes, Taryn moments. But here's one of them. Okay, the other day I was sitting shotgun driving home from the mall. As I was sitting there, I noticed a water bottle. Now, I have this strange OCD with water bottles and condensation. If I see it on the bottle, I have to get rid of it or it really bothers me. Now, it was kind of a long drive, so I'd put my seat down so I could take a rest. Guess I wasn't doing my job. Are you meaning to touch my foot?
No.
Oh, you kicked me like 3 times, so I thought
I'm
it was like
so
a tune.
Sorry. I'm trying to tell you something.
I immediately was like, what am I doing?
I'm so sorry. My face, I was like, what?
It was anyways.
Like 3 little taps. Okay. I was like, shoot, I did something bad.
Anyway, because I wasn't sitting up, I couldn't really see the whole water bottle. This was a problem because when I reached over and grabbed the water bottle, I shook it to get rid of the condensation. What I hadn't noticed was that there was no lid on this water bottle. So when I shook it, all the water immediately came out and spilt all over my car and my shorts.
Oh.
Haha. My mom was laughing. Oh, mom. So she must be. Mm-hmm. Not from where we are from, was laughing so hard that she swerved on the road. While this was all happening, my sister was just asleep in the back seat.
Wow.
I was like, imagine if like you were driving and I was laying there and I just reached up and started shaking water all over you. Mm-hmm. You'd probably be like, what is your problem?
There was one time my sister grabbed coffee creamer from the fridge. And what's the first thing you do when you grab
shake
coffee?
It. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The lid wasn't on completely and it went everywhere. And I remember laughing so hard because it was just, it's just one of those things, especially coffee, like first thing in the morning when you're tired.
Yeah.
Like she goes to shake it and it just goes everywhere. And she was shocked and she was confused. And I was confused because there was this like creamer everywhere. It was just, it's just funny.
It is.
It's
funny.
One of those just really funny things because no one expects it to happen.
No, you don't. That, but especially when you're driving in the car and someone like voluntarily just like grabs the bottle. Uh-huh. I was dying because I could totally see myself doing that and then just picturing being in the car.
Oh, 100.
So thank you for that. That was a great one.
Loved it. Thank you.
Great one.
Send in more tearing it ups because we like them a lot.
Yes, we do.
Big fans. Big fans over here.
Big fans. Okay, well, let's take a break and then I will.
Yeah, let's have you go first.
Because I know you have a heavier topic today. Mm-hmm. So we evened it out. So I have a fun, embarrassing story.
Yep.
Called Trash Can Bear Hug.
That sounds great.
And we'll be back. Hello, everyone. It's Taryn.
And Ashley.
From Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com. And welcome back.
Welcome back.
We here.
Excited for Taryn's story.
Me too. It's a good one. It's definitely like a lot of details, but I feel like it really, like I felt like I could see this happening, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's get into it. Hello, girls. My name is Shelby, coming all the way from Ohio.
Hi, Shelby. I love doing that.
What? Why Continue. Do you wait until I'm like halfway through an accent?
You never pause, so I just kept going.
Okay. Hello, girls. My name is Shelby.
Hi, Shelby.
Hey, Shelby. coming all the way from Ohio, and I am here to share one of my most embarrassing and hilarious stories. I'm going to start out by saying I love your podcast. And yes, oh, well, good, because I already did. You can say my name if you choose to read my email. So I will start out with a little backstory. I used to work in a small town grocery store where I have plenty of memories and stories from, including an impossible love story. However, that will have to be for another time because that will definitely be a bit lengthy. In my years of working here, I worked in the deli. My boss at the time was tall, athletic, and well, really attractive. And I was like, hi.
Dang. Hello.
What's his name?
Hook it up.
That's literally all the adjectives I look for.
Synthesis
tall, athletic, attractive, you know, and a heart of gold. Anyways, I will note that he was married. It's unfortunate. They all are. And I was not at all interested. So this makes it slightly less embarrassing, but not really. Anywho, one day while working back in the deli, we were in the middle of a slight midday rush. I'm not sure if you guys have ever worked food service, but if it's
Yep.
But if... Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your pita.
My pita place.
Pita yep. place. Yeah. But if not, it gets really hectic. During those times, you kind of get into your get it done autopilot mode, and you just get your little body moving. During this rush, my boss approaches the opening to the department and asks me to speak with him. I said, absolutely, just let me finish with my customer. During those times, we were extremely shorthanded and had call-offs almost daily, and I was one of the few people there that will always pick up shifts. So I began to think things like, I really hope I don't have to stay until close, and I hope I don't have to work another double shift tomorrow while I am just going along and cutting the rest of the lunch meat. Now, to set the scene, the entrance of the department was to the right if you were standing at the table I was standing at. This is where my boss was patiently waiting for me. Then next to our slicing table was the bakery table where our cake baker was decorating cakes. Then our slicing table, which had two slicers on each end. And of course, on each end of the table were two wheeled industrial trash cans. I was like waiting for the trash can when I was reading this.
Yeah.
The counter is in front of me, and the scales are on top of the counter. So you have to walk around the trash cans to get to the counter to weigh the lunch meat and hand it to the customers.
Got it.
You can probably assume where this is going.
Yeah.
I know that was a lot of details, but...
I know. I was trying to, like, picture it while you were talking. I was trying to map it out.
The boss is on the side, and she's explaining, like, all of the hurdles that are in between her
Got it.
And the boss. Okay, I get done slicing my customer's lunch meat, so I grab it with both hands and begin hastily walking towards the counter. Then it happens.
Oh, no.
I was in such a hurry, not paying any bit of attention to anything other than taking care of this customer and having to quickly talk to my boss while getting pre-irritated for another possible double shift when I completely ran over the trash can.
Oh.
The lunch meat.
Oh,
this is
no.
This is the part, like, because this is... I mean, how many times have you, like, tripped over something? Like,
every day.
It's fun. Every day. 5 minutes ago. Like, that's funny. Like, falling is funny.
Yeah.
But this is the part that got to me because I feel like I can physically, like, see this happening. The lunch meat in my hands went flying hard into the trash can and all over the floor. This is where I suddenly find myself in a life or death battle with this giant, bigger than me, on wheels trash can.
Ugh.
I slip on the lunch meat I just threw.
No.
All over the floor, causing me to grab the trash can on it on wheels, guys.
Right.
You catch yourself on anything with wheels, so it just keeps wheeling while leaning halfway over. I have a death grip on this thing. Getting closer and closer to the counter, then it finally tips over. The trash can is now on the floor. I am on top, bear hugging the trash can. Everything went silent. I looked up and my boss says with the straightest face on the planet, you okay? She's all, no, you a-hole. Yeah, I'm fine. I got up. I started uncontrollably cry laughing, walked over to the entrance where my boss was standing, and I told him, I just need a second.
I feel like I have been in so many uncontrollably cry laughing situations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's you can't come back.
No.
Like a second is not enough. Like
no.
I would have had to go to the bathroom and compose myself.
Yeah. Because
it's just like you're mortified, but then it's so funny. You keep going.
Yeah. No, you're like dying. She said, I walked into our walk-in cooler and just absolutely had the biggest moment of cry laughing I've ever had. Meanwhile, my boss is waiting for me. There are 5 to 6 people waiting at the counter, and my poor customer who waited in line, finally about to get her order, watched me and her lunch meat go straight into a trash can. Needless to say, this is one of my most embarrassing yet funny things to happen to me so far. But hey, you have to be able to laugh at yourself because if that was anyone else, I would cry laughing at them. Oh, my gosh, me. I hope you found this funny, as I still do 7 years later. I was laughing super hard trying to write this. P.S. My boss ended up being my current boyfriend's best friend. Fun time.
Wow. The most
so
relatable
good.
Thing I've ever heard, because I did work in, like, food. What do you call that again? Food industry.
Oh, she said
industry.
Something.
Not, what's the word?
Not hospitality.
Why did I want to say that too? That's not correct. I can't think of it.
Food service?
Service, I guess. Food service. I remember whenever there was a mad rush, there was always a race to the walk-in refrigerator.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
We would freaking elbow people out of the way because it wasn't massive. So only like 5 people could fit in there.
Yeah.
So after every rush, people would bolt, especially in the summer, obviously in the summer, we would like run to the fridge and just sit there for like 5 minutes and just be like, I'm so hot. This feels so good. And it was like a little party in there. Yeah. So I've totally done that before. That's hilarious.
I worked at a breakfast place and I got really overwhelmed one time. And so I took a, I took a piece of bacon and then I went in and was like sitting in the corner just eating the bacon and like one of the chefs walked in and just looked at me and I was just sitting there with my bacon and I was like, I just need a minute.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It's so good. But yeah, I was dying just picturing like, you know that feeling where you just know like you're losing control?
Yeah.
And she was probably like trying her hardest to like regain any type of composure.
Yep.
Such a good one.
Oh my God. I've fallen so many times. It's like slow motion.
Oh yeah. It is slow motion.
Everything goes into slow. Everything.
Yeah.
It's like those, it's like a movie, you know, when it's like everyone starts moving slowly. You can see the ground getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
And you're like trying to pick your feet up, but there's just, it's like a dream. Like you can't move your body because you're already parallel to the floor. Yeah. So it's just like the worst situation.
But what's so bad about it is it feels so long and dramatic and like you're really trying. But in anybody else's, it's just like, like you're down. Like you're just down.
It's
you know what
like
I mean?
A second and like you're already on the floor. But in your head, there's, you had ample opportunities just to fix it and nothing worked your way.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dude, I think the craziest, like, food service incident I've heard of, you know Dave?
Dave, my dad's best friend. Yeah.
Which, shout out to the Chacones. Love them. Shelly's, like, our biggest fan.
Sup?
They're, like, my second mom and dad. Anyways, he worked at Disneyland.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, we love Disney.
We should have Disney stories in an episode with
that
Disney.
That is good. Yeah.
I love Disney. Yeah.
So he was pushing a giant vat of blue cheese dressing.
Oh my gosh.
Because think about like how much food and people go through there. So I was like, I'm used to like restaurants where it's like a gallon thing of ranch or whatever. But it was basically like a giant trash can on wheels full of blue cheese.
That's ridiculous.
So he was pushing it and it hit like a lip or something in the ground and stopped and he was going fast. So his entire body, he went head first into, so half of his body got submerged into blue cheese dressing.
Oh my God.
So now to this day, if you even mention it or if he smells it, he starts gagging because it was like so traumatic.
I can't wait to see him.
Yeah.
Because I don't see him that often, but next time I do, I'm just going to be like, hey, Dave, can you pass the blue cheese?
He'll be like, where is it?
Dude, I can't wait. Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine.
Ew, dude.
I can't imagine.
Ew. No. It makes like me get the chills. Anyways, thank you, Shelby, for sending in your embarrassing moment. I feel like we haven't had just like a plain embarrassing moment in a long time. And that's why I did it.
We both worked in food service, now that we know what to call it.
Yeah.
So I love stories like that because it's very relatable. Also, I feel like a lot of people's first jobs are in food service.
Yeah, I think I got confused because, like, you did a job where you actually, like, made things.
Yeah, well, I worked at a sandwich shop, and it was called Extreme Pita, if you know what it is.
Shout out Extreme Pita.
I doubt you do, but, like, it was a very small franchise. But it was basically, like, a Subway, but with, like, Mediterranean-style pita bread and, like, tzatziki and hummus and stuff like that. And it was really good, and I loved it. I'm still a big fan to this day. But, yeah, so I would, like, actually prepare food.
Yeah, I've never done it. I just wasn't like a server,
cook or anything.
Yeah.
It was pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yes. That's so good.
Anyways, well,
do you have any embarrassing
that.
Stories in the food service?
I'm sure it's me.
I'm trying to think of one because I'm like, I did it for a while, so there's got to be something, but I can't think of anything.
I think like there was one time. There was one time I was carrying like an entire tray of drinks.
Oh.
And I used to pride myself on like, because I am klutzy, but like I never had dropped a glass, spilled like anything like that. And so I had like a whole tray, maybe I was too confident, of like there was hot coffees, there was like waters, Diet Cokes. It was like all the drinks for like all 5 of my tables. And I turned the corner and my manager was turning the corner.
And he was like kind of just like this bigger, awkward kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And so he startled me. So I kind of swayed. But like I like was able, like I knew momentum. Like I was able to like correct my balance.
Yeah.
But he saw the tray tip forward. And then he fully spazzed out. Like he reached his hands and went like, boom, like pushed his hands up to try to like
catch it. Yeah.
And instead of catching it, he shot like all of the drinks back on top of me. So I was like burnt and freezing and glasses were just going ka 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 ka, which like anybody, then everybody looks and it looks like I just literally like dumped a tray of drinks on me.
Uh-huh.
So that was like one of the like most where I felt so stupid. And that's, I was like, it's worst. Not even my fault.
Yeah.
It's not even my fault.
And I'm sure your boss was just like, God, Darren.
No, I just remember I looked at the floor and I looked at him and I just went, why? Like, why? Yeah. Why did you just do
why
that?
Did you do that? That's terrible.
It was so bad.
I never had anything like that because I never served. But I, like when I was working at the sandwich shop, I was also working at hotels,
mm-hmm.
like the hotel that I worked at. And then I was also going to school. So 90% of the time, I would go into my sandwich shop to work, and then I'd go to like a class or two, and then I'd go to the hotel at night to work. So I never slept. It was like, oh my gosh, I was like the most
horrible
zombie sleep deprived college student you have ever met. And it was a community college that I was going to. So like parking was rough.
Oh gosh.
It was always full, like overfilled with students. So the second I got off the clock, I would run into the bathroom, change out of my uniform, throw on like regular clothes, grab my backpack and like run out the door and speed to class. Otherwise I wouldn't make it. I would take my lunch to go and I would eat it in the car.
Jeez.
And I remember someone had just mopped. And I'm not even going to go into detail. I ate it so hard.
Ash.
And I was just, but like all that, like I was in a rush. I had grabbed my food. I was like grabbing everything and someone had just mopped and they were like, they just like hadn't put the sign out yet and I didn't notice because I was in a hurry and I just ate it really bad. And
oh
I remember a couple of my coworkers just like laughing their asses
off. I would have died.
I was just like, I gotta go. Like,
I don't have time to revel in this.
I couldn't even say and laugh about it because I was like, I'm late. It was my math class, which is funny story. I didn't pass it anyway. So
it's fine. It wasn't even worth
it. It's fine.
We're okay. We've recovered.
Anyways, we're going to move on to my story. We should take a break because it's been a minute. But we're going to go ahead and get into my story. This one's a little sad. A little serious, but also like good. I'm actually really proud of her. So we're going to get into this in a second. This one's titled This Is Heavy. So let's go ahead and take a break and then we'll get into it.
Sweet.
Break. Okay, we're back from our break.
We're back.
And we're going to go ahead and get into my story. This is from someone who wants to remain anonymous. So I made sure to double, triple check that there are no names involved. Thank you. So let's get into it. She says, hey, girlfriends, I realize that we're not actually friends.
Hey.
You did that on purpose.
Of course I did.
You did that on purpose.
Of course I did.
I realize that we're not actually friends, but I feel like we would be. I'd like to remain anonymous on this since the subject matter is very heavy. And I realize that this may not get selected due to the influx of emails that you get. As well as the subject matter being a little bit hush-hush taboo. I'll try to condense it, but here it goes. I feel guilty. There's not an easy way to bring this up, so I'm just going to say it. My sister and I were molested. We were young at the time. I was probably about 7 or so, which would have made my sister 5-ish. I do want to clarify that I don't feel guilt that this happened to me/us as though it's our fault. But our grandpa by marriage on my mom's side was the offender. Mm-hmm. I've never talked about this with anyone but my sister, and we keep it very brief. I can't even say how long this went on, but I believe there are signs that it happened since infancy. Back to the guilt. The only reason that this even stopped was because my sister spoke up. I feel disappointed that she, being the younger sister, was the one that had enough guts to say something to our parents. It's amazing that even though we were too young to know what it was, we instinctually knew that it was wrong. I've honestly tried just blocking it out over the years, but was always worried that this was something that could have been happening to other kids. And also, how long would it have gone on if she hadn't have said something? I know that our parents discussed this when it happened with each other, and I know that my grandma, his wife, knew too. Our parents told us that they weren't going to press any charges against him since that would make it worse for everyone involved. We would both have to undergo exams and make statements against him and make the situation a little more traumatic. My sister never saw him again, but I didn't feel that that was enough even then. Fast forward many years later, probably about 10, and he's in a nursing home, but unresponsive. We think he's in a coma, or we thought he was in a coma. My mom and I were taking turns watching him at night to make sure that he didn't have a seizure or anything. So we could, like, what's it called? Just so they could notify a nurse immediately if something were to happen. As luck would have it, he ended up passing that night. I remember feeling very relieved. I was relieved that he was gone, and I was relieved that he could no longer have the possibility of doing this to other people. Up until this point, it had never been discussed between any of us, just my sister and I, on rare and very brief occasions, and my grandma had never acknowledged it. After he passed, she told me that what he did was wrong, but he did it to show love.
What?
As he didn't know how else to do it. I was furious. How could something so disgusting be done with love in mind? In the weeks following his death, she told our story, she puts in quotes. No, not just the one I told you. She would tell people that he saw me come into the world and I saw him leave it. He had been in the non-responsive state for a few weeks and no one could figure out why he was still holding on. She ended up saying that it was because I forgave him. And I was the last person he needed to say goodbye to. But my sister never saw him, and at that time, I had not forgiven him. I still feel guilt that I wasn't the one to say something. I was uncomfortable with the situation and knew it would change family dynamics, as it should, she adds in parentheses, to ensure it never happened again. I suppressed these feelings for a long time, but my grandma now has cancer. I thought of losing her and how that would affect me, and I feel regret for that too, because I've since then distanced my relationship with my grandmother. Mm. How do I cope? Is this something that can be forgiven? Do I need to forgive him to move forward? I know this is a bit of a disorganized ramble, but it feels good to get it out. Thank you for the read, and thank you for all the laughs on the show. It has become the best part of my day. However, I finished binge listening today, so now I have to wait every Monday for new ones. Since this was such a heavy topic, I'd like to offer up a dad joke to lift the tension and feed Taryn's dad joke addiction.
I appreciate you.
So here she goes. Did you know that the first French fries weren't cooked in France? They were cooked in Greece.
In Greece. I heard this one. Oh, that's such a good great. One.
I just came back from there. It was fantastic. So, wow. That was really heavy.
Yeah.
She didn't give us any nickname or anything, so we're just going to call her Anonymous. But thank you, Anonymous, for being vulnerable with us and talking about this. I have a ton of stuff that I want to say, but do you want to?
Well, I think, yeah, like, I think we'll definitely, and I'm sure you're going to be the same, like, we're going to address this specific situation because I think she, I mean, minus the abuse that she basically received as a kid, like she's mainly like dealing with this like guilt situation and her relationship with her grandma and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll definitely tackle that. But and I don't know if you were going to say this or not, but like we've been kind of like talking about doing an episode and maybe bringing in a professional for sexual abuse and stuff like that, because we actually get a lot of stories like that.
A lot of stories.
It's really heartbreaking, but it's something that, you know, I think just like the suicide episode before, like we don't want to like fully get into it because mm-hmm. we want someone to be here that can really offer substantial advice for you guys. So that's just kind of like a disclaimer, and I'll let you kind of do most of it, but like there was one thing that stuck out, and that was like what her grandma said to her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, I feel like I really 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 do try to like understand people, right? Mm.
Yeah,
some people make it way freaking harder than others because it's disgusting, like what was said to her, and that she tried to make it this beautiful moment and kind of like put her own opinion on what was going on. But I mean, you think about like this lady and learning about like what her husband's doing. And I think sometimes people can't let their minds go places. Mm-hmm. And so instead of doing that, they make their own narrative to fit in something that makes sense. Like, yes, their brain kind of like, well, this is probably why. And they grasp onto things that they feel like they can handle. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like that was what was going on, is her trying to be like, oh, no, no. Like, because she can't face it herself.
Right.
I mean, I can't even, I probably would commit murder if I ever found out. I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't even want to go there. But I just want to be clear that even if that's what was happening, like, that doesn't make it right. And it makes total sense why you are upset and why you're hanging on to anger towards her. And then, like, I mean, that's not even touching why you're hanging on to anger towards him. But I think people work in really weird ways, and it's messed up, and it doesn't make it right. But oh gosh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I think it sounds, and I don't want to say anything bad about your grandma, but I 100% believe she was in denial and didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so she painted this pretty picture for herself, for her family, and for her friends. To hide the fact of what really was happening behind the scenes.
Oh, totally.
But so,
honestly, like, this story, this is your truth. This is like what happened to you. This is your situation. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says or how anyone else portrays it. And I think that's a big thing with people who've gone through stuff, is they don't want to say anything because they're like, no one's going to believe me. And especially family members, like, you never want to like be able to comprehend that it could be happening within
it's so much
your own
messier
family.
With
family. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, no matter what anybody says, like, this is your truth and nothing else affects that. So like, I hope even though she's like telling people certain things, like, I can't imagine that, but like, hang on to like what is yours and know that it doesn't matter like what anybody else thinks, if that makes sense. But
oh my God. Yeah. I mean, there's so many, this is in like no particular order.
Yeah.
But there's so many things I want to hit on. Like, I realize and I understand how difficult it is to bring it up and talk to people about it. But I genuinely think that the best thing you can do is just talk about it to family members, to friends that are close and you feel comfortable with, but specifically to professionals.
Yeah.
And I don't want this to sound sponsored in any way, but we've mentioned services that you can call, or you can text message, or you can email, or even FaceTime, to where you don't actually physically have to go into an office, which I know can make it a little bit easier for you. So I definitely recommend something like that. Or if you feel comfortable talking to your mom to help you find someone in your area that you can go talk to, because I really do think this would require professional help that's way beyond anything we can offer, and even beyond what your family and friends can offer. Like, this is a whole new level. I mean, I've never gone through this, but I can only imagine. I know that any kind of sexual assault, whether it be molestation or rape or whatever, it's such an intimate way to destroy someone.
Yeah,
like, it's emotionally, physically, and spiritually tearing someone apart.
Yeah,
so I really hope that you understand that it makes complete sense that your emotions are frazzled and you are feeling guilty for things that you shouldn't be feeling guilty for, because everything just got literally like scrambled together and then ripped apart.
Yeah.
So
such a young age.
So I also, I feel like I'm bouncing all over the place, but man, oh my God, the big sister thing really got me, because
that's what
I'm a big sister and Taryn's a big sister. And I really understand and relate to feeling guilty that maybe you should have said something first, being the older sibling. But I really hope that you don't hurt yourself too much or get upset at yourself too much because of that, because you were young too.
Yeah.
And you're too young, actually. And I feel like being older sometimes, it almost kind of puts you in a worse position, because you understand what would happen to your family, and you understand, you can foresee like what'll happen when you tell your parents. Whereas maybe the younger sister or sibling didn't see that. They just knew something was wrong, so they said something, you know? So, I mean, it's going to take a long time, and I don't know how long that would be, but I hope that you can eventually reframe your mind to forgive yourself for not saying something, and also realize that you did nothing wrong, and also be thankful that your sister was able to say something, and hopefully be able to talk to her too, because I guarantee you, if you're feeling this way, she's feeling this way. And yeah. I can just picture, like, the ideal thing would be for you to be able to open up together. Obviously, you might have to come to terms on your own first before you're able to talk together. But I think that would be the best case scenario if you can get her to open up about it as well.
Well, it sounds like she says, like, that's the only person she's talked to about it is her sister. And I think that's a powerful thing because you guys did go through it together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that definitely stuck out to me because, you know, I am a big sister and, like, I would do, like,
I know. This makes me want to
get. I know. I'm emotional. But, like you were a baby.
She's such a baby.
Like, you were a baby and, like.
Like, it sounds like she might be in her young teens now.
Yeah. But still, 7 years old, like, mm-hmm. you, I know that you're like, I should have protected her. But, mm-hmm. like, somebody should have protected you.
Yeah.
Like, so, I, like, you can't put that on yourself. Like, mm-hmm. you can't. And I'm going to start crying if I keep talking about that specific area. But I think, like, all of these things she's talking about, like, she sounds very mature and, like, she's, like, I'm not guilty because that wasn't my fault that happened. Yeah. And all these things. And I think, you know, I think anybody who's been hurt or wronged by a person and then when they pass and they feel that sense of relief, I feel like it's a strange balance where you're like, okay, well, I shouldn't be glad that someone died. But at the same time, you feel that sense of, like, freedom and that you don't have to worry about that person. So I think right now this is all very fresh.
Yeah.
And you need to give yourself freedom to feel and process the way that you need to. As far as, like, you mentioned forgiveness, I think we need to remember you can forgive someone, but you don't have to reconcile with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can forgive someone, but you don't have to, like, have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, sometimes forgiveness is a freeing thing that's for you yourself. It has nothing to do with that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to just, like, release kind of, like, that hold someone might have on you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that even with your grandma and everything that's going on and the anger that you felt or, you know, this tension of you not knowing, like, do I go be there for her? Do I whatever? Like, it's okay to think about what is best for you. And even if you do go through that process of forgiving, that does not mean that you need to be there every day, that you need to, you know, like, I didn't love the fact that you had to sit and watch your grandpa. Like, I feel like that was an unfair situation for you to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to surround yourself by someone and you don't have to be worrying about what they're feeling or their guilt or whatever. Like, you can forgive, but you still need to protect yourself. So
yeah.
If you putting yourself in proximity of her or you, you know, going to certain things is going to cause you to relive that, then that's not worth it.
No, not at all.
I don't know.
Not at all. I really think, so I wanted to make sure that I, like, did this correctly. So I did a little research on this, and I really wanted to make sure that you understood that feeling guilty over something like this is actually extremely common. There was a list of, like, the most common things to feel guilty of after being sexually assaulted in any way. And I'm talking, like, from little to, like, rape. And some of the things, like, it was unreal the things people were feeling guilty for. But it was under the most common category. And I, like, it just kind of, like, blew my mind. I was like, wow, this is something that pretty much most people deal with on a regular level. So I really hope, Anonymous, that you realize how normal you are. Like, this is normal. Your feeling this way is extremely normal. But at a certain point, you have to also recognize that even though feeling guilty is normal, the guilt itself is irrational. Like, it's not right because you didn't do something wrong. So it all comes to a point where you just have to restructure the way you think about it. And then, like Taryn said, And I think you need to be selfish, and I think you need to put yourself first mm-hmm. when it comes to your grandpa, when it comes to your grandma. You can respect people from afar. Like, you don't have to be rude to your grandmother, but at the same time, you can put your foot down and just say, listen, like, you were wrong in doing this. He was wrong in doing this. You don't even have to talk about it anymore, but you could just be like, I'm going to focus on myself right now. Yeah. And then you don't have to ever see her again if you don't want to. But I think it's clear. I think it's really clear to both me and Taryn, and hopefully you'll see this too, that it's okay to be selfish and not have to worry so much about your family.
Well, and it sounds like when it happened, you know, and again, like, I, as a family, how do you handle that type of thing?
There's
like
no rules on what to do.
Yeah, for like your, I don't know if it was your mom's mom or your mom's dad or your dad's dad, but like, to think that a parent could be capable of that, like, I can't imagine. But the way that it sounds like it was handled feels like you almost felt like, I mean, no, there was no charges. We never talked about it again. Like, all that stuff. Like, as a little kid, like, you should have felt like, you know, you had a champion, that people were fighting for you and fighting to protect you. You know, so like that. And then so it makes sense to me why you've only talked about it with your sister and that it's very rare. And so I feel like you as a little kid weren't given a voice. And I think that's something that you really need to explore, because I want to make this very clear. What happened to you was not okay. Like, it was not okay. You should not have gone through that. And everything you're feeling is completely okay to feel. And I think that you need to give that 7-year-old self a chance to have a voice. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, like, if you don't want to talk, because I get a lot of like shame and stuff comes with that. So that's it's your story, it's your truth, and it's yours to protect. But I would definitely recommend getting help, because I know, like, one of the biggest breakthroughs I had in counseling was when I was like going back and tracing like this specific insecurity and struggle that I've always had. Like, we went back and traced like where it started. And it was something that happened to me when I was in about like third grade, which is like kind of around that age. I think third grade, you're like 8 years old. I can't remember though.
Ish. I don't know.
But I remember, like, I sat there and I was describing to her an incident that happened, and I like lost it. Like, I was crying hysterically. I started laughing because I was like, I don't even understand what's happening. And I remember her telling me, like, you just gave that little like 8-year-old, 9-year-old you just gave her a voice, because back then she didn't know how to voice, like, why it was so painful, what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so I would really recommend, like, you know, I think that you, like, that 7-year-old version of you, like, she deserves the right to, like, speak up and to say, you know, like, this was happening and I didn't like it and it was wrong and all of the things that you feel. So I really think that you need to give yourself that outlet to have that voice. And like I said, it's your truth, so it's yours to share. So mm-hmm. it doesn't mean, you know, I mean, there's support groups, there's online things you can go to, there's places
sure
like BetterHelp,
there's like chat rooms or something.
Oh my gosh, there's so much stuff out there. But you know, even if you just go to like your doctor or a local college that has like a counseling program that you mm-hmm. can just say like, hey, can I just like see someone, you know, there's plenty of outlets that are there. And so I would definitely do that. And another thing I would recommend is if I don't know how old she is, but if she's young, if you're younger and you need your parents' like permission for things, demand it. Like, demand it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've heard of so many people that have gone to their parents and been like, hey, like, I feel like I need counseling. And they're like, you're fine. Like, let's do this more, or let's just whatever. But if you feel like you need help, like, I would sit your parents down and be like, hey, this has gone on for long enough. Like, this was not okay what happened to me, and I need to get help for this.
She said it was 7. So she said about 10 years later. So she's roughly 18, like close to 18.
Yeah, girl, you gotta put your foot down and start speaking for yourself and saying like, hey,
this is what I need.
Obviously, you guys are not comfortable talking about this, but this happened to me and I deserve to speak up for myself and to get the help that I need. So I need you to make an appointment this week. Like I would just really stick up for yourself in that way. Yeah.
And I think this is also possibly, you know, if she wants to too, an opportunity for you to stick up for your little sister also and make sure that she's getting taken care of properly as well, because in the end, like, your guys' lives are the ones that are being affected, not your parents, not your grandma, like, no one else's. Your life has been changed because of this. So I think that's the best thing you could do. I do. There are a ton of websites. Like Taryn said, there was this one that specifically stood out to me. This was the website is jimhopper.com, but his book, the author is Jim Hopper. The book is called Mindfulness Oriented Interventions for Trauma. And that was the most reviewed one that I could find. So I obviously haven't read this, but it looked like one of the best options. And I read like a little synopsis of it, and it just came down to this being a process and not an immediate result. So I just really hope that you take all of this into consideration and then also give yourself time for this to heal.
Yeah, and like, you are seriously not alone. Like, there's so many people.
So many people are listening right now and relating so much to this.
Yeah, and it's crazy. So I totally like applaud you for being brave enough to write this story out. I feel like, you know, with so many of the emails we read, at the end of them, a lot of them will just say, like, thank you for even just giving me this opportunity to write it out. So I think
it's crazy how much, like, just talking and writing about it is therapeutic in itself.
Oh, totally. But I think you'll be surprised how many people are going to be impacted by your story. And yeah, so thank you for being raw and sharing that. And like we said, we definitely want to address that topic as a whole in the near future. But thank you for sending that in. That was
Thanks for being brave. Yeah. Thanks for being vulnerable. And yeah, that's the end. That's all we have for today. That was heavy, but also it's kind of weirdly refreshing hearing people talk about things that people don't always talk about.
Yeah.
So I love that this is a safe place where people can do that.
Oh, heck yeah.
It makes me happy. It makes my heart happy.
Yeah. We need to start talking about things more often. Because unless you do, then it just is like this scary unknown thing. But the more you talk about things, the more you're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not alone. And it feels a little bit more manageable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a little thing we can end this with.
Okay.
This is from, let me see. Stacy. And this is just a really quick thing that Stacy emailed us with. And I thought it was really cute because we talk about it all the time. It's titled, "This Test Changed Me." And she says, "So I did the Enneagram test with my friends. And let's just say that we have been talking about it for over an hour now. Sitting here talking about it.
Sounds about right.
We're listening to the songs and are all kinds of in our feels. Thank you for introducing this to us. This Enneagram test had me learn so much about myself. And it's in such a special way. I know this obviously doesn't need advice, but I felt the need to tell you guys. Thank you guys so much. P.S. I love the podcast so much. I've been listening since day one and love it. Thank you so much. Bye."
Aww.
I thought that was really cute because that was like one of the first things we talked about on the podcast.
Oh my gosh,
like, our day one podcast was we talked
about. Yeah, we haven't geeked out on Enneagram recently.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
So but, much for like, our turning this into an Enneagram podcast.
I know. It's in the works still, guys, I swear. But yeah, I thought that made me really happy because that's how I learned about it, was through a group of friends. And literally we did the same thing. We sat around and just like talked about each other's numbers.
Yeah.
And how like we could see like proof of it in our everyday lives.
Oh,
anyways, it's such a weird thing. I love it so much.
Didn't I send you I found like a thing that it said the Harry Potter characters that were the different.
Yes, I think I was Harry.
I think you were too, which I was sad. I was like hoping that I would be like Ron.
Oh.
So, you know.
Were you Hagrid?
Yeah.
I sent that to our friend Smash and she just responded, "Oh my gosh, you are Hagrid." And I was like, you know,
The fact that I'm like an 8 foot or however tall he is, bushy haired man, it's fine.
It's fine. It's guys, fine. If you want to talk Enneagram, just send us Enneagram stories.
I should post that because if you guys are into Enneagram and Harry Potter, it's very fascinating.
Oh, you should post it because yeah. I loved it.
I can't find it, but I'll find it.
All you have to do is take the test, find out what number you are, and then find out which Harry Potter character you are.
Well, and we could totally freaking post on our story a link to the test because
swipe
we
up.
Have over 10K we on Instagram hit swipe now.
Up. Bless Whoa. The Lord. You guys have no idea how long we've been wanting to hit swipe up. This makes everything so much easier. Whenever we want to send you guys somewhere fun, then we can just add the link and swipe up. Yep. So it finally happened. We had a little party. Actually, Taryn and I were separated, but we had a little party. It was like, yay.
Yeah, you kept trying to FaceTime me while I was at work.
Yeah.
And I was like, she didn't Ashley. Pick up. I can't. She was like, pick up. Just pick up. And I was like, no, I'm literally like in a meeting.
In Mykonos dancing. And I was trying to FaceTime you. And it would have been hilarious if you answered. But
I'm sure it would
have. It's fine. It's fine. Anyways, we should end this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because
we just love talking to you guys so much.
If you guys
stop cutting me off.
If you guys have stories that you want to email them, where can they email them at? Taryn?
Now you want me to talk?
Mm-hmm.
AdviceUnsolicitedPod@gmail.com.
Well done. Follow us on all our socials. And yeah, we can't wait to talk to you guys soon. We'll talk to you guys soon.
I just want to say that Ashley has... Your beginning and ending to this podcast are going down in history.
You're welcome. That was a good time.
There was unconventional ways to.
It's just a glimpse into the mind of Ashley Nicole.
You know, we all want to know what's in there. You don't share it often.
Okay, bye, guys.
#9s.